time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And it is time once again for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
What are we discussing this week?
Well, every so often in this Abandoned Manitoba series, we visit a ghost town somewhere around the province. This week, a town that was at one time one of the largest in the province. Today, it consists only of a large stone monument. We're talking about the ghost town of Nelsonville.
So, Gordon, where do we start?
Many towns in southern Manitoba exist because of railway lines. In the early 1880s, the Canadian Pacific Railway began building branch lines to serve the areas south and north of its main line, and many a town was founded along these lines. What is less well remembered are the many towns that predated the Canadian Pacific Railway, most of which died when they were bypassed by the railway. An example we've talked about in this series several years ago is Old Deloraine, southeast of present-day Deloraine. Most of that town was moved except for a former bank vault that now stands in a farmyard.
Okay. So when was Nelsonville actually established then?
In 1878, when an Ontario-born settler named Adam Nelson built a flour mill at the future site of the town that took his name. A community developed around the mill that became Nelsonville. You know, it became quite a big deal. It hosted the courts for the surrounding region. It had a cheese factory. Heck, it had all the trappings of permanence. By 1881, Nelsonville had, and this is a direct quote from a newspaper of the time, one sawmill, one shingle mill, five general stores, three furniture shops, three harness shops, three hotels, five agricultural warehouses, one printing office, three churches, one government land office, two livery stables, two blacksmith and carriage shops, one schoolhouse, two stove and tin shops, two shoe shops, an orange hall, a Masonic hall, two resident doctors, a lawyer, and over 60 private residences.
Wow, Nelsonville sounds like it was worth the trip. And it sounds like it was a super large community as well.
Yeah, in fact, Nelsonville had one of the first weekly newspapers in southern Manitoba, the Nelsonville Mountaineer. And at least one book was published at Nelsonville in 1881, entitled A Sketch of Both Sides of Manitoba, written by journalist J.F. Galbraith. By July of 1882, Nelsonville had a population of over 1,000 people, making it one of the largest towns in Manitoba at that time. It was incorporated as a town, and the Ville part of its name was dropped to become simply Nelson. They built a municipal hall at Nelson, a substantial brick structure that also housed the courtrooms, council chambers, and a public assembly hall.
Well, this all sounds fabulous, but something must have happened. So what happened?
Well, as I said, it was the railway. In 1883, the Canadian Pacific constructed a line between Winnipeg and present-day Larivière. Instead of building the line through Nelsonville, though, the railway selected a route several miles to the south of town. There, the company bought land belonging to another Ontario-born settler who had arrived in the 1870s, a man named Alvy Morden. Now, initially, the town that developed on Mr. Morden's former farmland was named Mordenville in his honor, but it was quickly shortened to just Morden.
So how did the good folks of Nelson respond to this threat to their hometown?
Well, some of them began to move to Morden, but some Nelson boosters did persist. In mid-1884, they were given a charter to construct a branch railway line that would connect Nelson with the Canadian Pacific line to the south. But that line was never built. By late 1884, it was clear that the writing was on the wall for Nelson. Through the winter of 1884 and the spring and summer of 1885, Nelson residents hooked onto their buildings with teams of horses and dragged them to the new town. Some of the larger buildings at Nelson were cut into pieces so they could be moved more readily. but some buildings could not be moved. That impressive municipal hall, a heavy brick building, was simply demolished. By early 1886, virtually all the businesses in Nelson were gone, and only three or four families still resided there. In 1902, Nelson lost its incorporation as a town, and the last building to leave was moved in 1905. And it turns out, Nelson was not the only town to be killed by the founding of Morden.
What other towns?
Well, a few miles southwest of Morden was the community of Mountain City, also founded in the 1870s. In 1883, when it was bypassed by the Canadian Pacific Railway, most of its buildings were moved to Morden too. The last surviving building at Mountain City, a church, was demolished in 1910.
I'm curious. The newspaper at Nelson was the Mountaineer, and the town southwest of Morden was Mountain City. Are there any mountains around Morden?
Well, you'd certainly think so with all those names. The region immediately around Morden is relatively flat. But these names commemorate a trail used by generations of First Nation and Métis people that led through the area on the way to the Turtle Mountains to the west, hence the mountain connection.
Okay, that makes sense. Your clue said that this ghost town consists only of a large monument. Is there really nothing left of Nelson?
Well, if one visits the former site of Nelson, all you can see at the corner of what used to be First Street and Water Street is a large boulder with a brass plaque attached. But there are a few remnants of Nelsonville here and there. About a mile northwest of the former town site is the Nelsonville Cemetery. In fact, it's still used today. Among those buried in the cemetery is Adam Nelson, the founder of Nelsonville. He continued to farm in the area and died in December of 1897 at the age of 70, some 12 years after his namesake town was abandoned.
Oh my goodness. Are there any other reminders of Nelson?
Well, you know, what I've always found curious is that although Nelsonville had a photography studio for virtually all its short history, I am aware of no photographs at all showing what the town looked like in its heyday. We have absolutely no photographic evidence of Nelsonville. But there are a few other reminders of its existence. In Morden, for example, there is a Nelson Street. Here in Winnipeg, the Legislative Library of Manitoba has microfilm copies of the Nelsonville Mountaineer newspaper. Interestingly, although the newspaper has gone through a series of mergers through the years, it still exists today as the Pembina Times. But I think one of the most tangible remnants of Nelsonville is the St. Thomas Anglican Church in Morden. It has seen quite a lot of renovation through the years, so it looks quite different. But at its core, there is an Anglican church that once stood at Nelsonville. That building was moved to Morden in 1885 as one of the last remaining structures from this Manitoba ghost town.
So interesting, especially the movement of buildings. I find it fascinating. Gordon, please give us a hint about what's happening next week.
Our theme next week, leading up to Remembrance Day, will be the sacrifices made by so many people during the First World War, especially those who served and died during the war. Some of these reminders are provided to us by Lionel Lemoyne Fitzgerald, the Manitoba member of the famous Group of Seven Artists.
Can't wait for it.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
Every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons ago.
That's Gordon Goldsborough with fascinating stories about lost and forgotten places right here in Manitoba. You can see the photos of the places that Gordon talks about every weekend on the Manitoba Historical Society website at mhs.ca. Click on quick links in the top left-hand corner. And if you have any information for Gordon, including updates on the things we talk about, or any new stories for episodes that you think would be really cool, you can reach him at 204-474-7469.